Welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat, and I spent years as a dentist, researcher, traveler of the world, an entrepreneur. Through helping thousands of people and my studies of conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences, I've realized that merging science and spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we really are. I'm here to empower you to up-level your life, mind, body, and soul, and to become your own version of superhuman. If you're feeling stressed, but at the same time, you're exhausted by all of the apps, gadgets, and supplements that you're pitched every single day, I may have the perfect plot twist to your health and wellness plan. The best part, it's something that you're probably already doing every single day from the comfort of your own home, and it's free. The morning stretch you've been rushing through just so you can jump out of bed and start the stress of your day may be the most powerful tool in your stress management arsenal. Today, we're diving into the surprising ways that stretching, yoga, and flexibility training not only affect your muscles, but they affect your brain, your mind, and the overall health and development of your nervous system. Speaking from personal experience, I have really deepened and worked on my own yoga practice and flexibility training over the past year and a half. And it has been transformational as far as what I experience in my own body and what I've experienced in my health over this last year and a half. There are obvious and gratifying benefits to my yoga practice that are very physical and serve as positive reinforcement and motivation for me to keep going. But beyond that, I've also found that my sense of self and really being connected to the deeper parts of my body and truly my intuition and certainty of self has really been the most unexpected and beautiful part of this practice that I've developed. And these benefits are really unseen yet undeniable. So I would encourage you to really consider that there is something to be found in connecting to your body in a different way that is really something on the fringes of physical activity and in the wellness space, because oftentimes we hear of weight training, muscle building, macro counting, and although there is somewhat of a shift in mindset towards all of those things and really approaching health and physical activity from a more holistic place, the idea of flexibility training and developing a flexibility practice is still sort of in its infancy as far as really being well understood and well adopted within the health and wellness community. When you develop a flexibility practice, it's not merely just stretching out, lengthening your muscles. You actually strengthen and develop the communication of your nerves and your nervous system with specialized sensors in different parts of your body, including within the muscle called proprioceptors. These proprioceptors give your brain the message as to exactly where your body is spatially. So where your body exists in space. And because there is that connection now of your brain understanding where you are, where different parts of your body are, over time, you also develop a better sense of where your body is intuitively. So in a very chemical way, a very physical way, there is this strengthened communication between different parts of your body that channel through your nervous system and eventually end up in the brain and then give you this more well-rounded understanding of what's happening with your body. And as that becomes more familiar to you and becomes more familiar in your brain, your intuition or your deeper sense of knowing yourself also strengthens and develops around that. And that has been a really important part of what I've noticed for myself in my ability just to really feel beyond physically understanding the muscles and understanding what's going on in my body, but to know or to feel, I'll say, meaning that from a deeper intuitive sense, what I can do, what I can't do, where I can push, where I shouldn't push. These are things that are really hard to put into words and describe. But as you continue a practice of flexibility training, perhaps that's in the form of yoga, but really understanding that stretching and building these connections within your nervous system is an important part of that intuitive strengthening as well. You understand your body in a completely different way. And because you're honoring certain things that are happening inside of your body, whether those are messages to show some more restraint, or there's a message that's coming from within that's allowing you to push yourself a little bit further, you really start to develop this interplay of what can or can I not do. Now, Dr. Chen from the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, and that's through the NIH, has studied something called interoception. And interoception is your brain's ability to sense and respond to signals coming from within your body. So again, it's a understanding of your brain or a sensation within the brain around what's happening inside of you. And when you strengthen this brain-body connection, which is always present, when we say things like brain-body connection, it almost makes it sound as though these things are separated from one another and they exist as separate entities and we have to bring them together. And that's misleading because the brain and the body are one. They are connected. There is no separation, but there is a lot of time disharmony. And when we're not acting in harmony between what's happening in our body, what's happening in our brain, our sensation of those two things, and how there should be this really natural, innate flowing between our brain, our body, and our sense of those things. But we have to develop that because, you know, for most of us, we have spent the majority of our lives really segmenting and compartmentalizing what happens in different parts of our body and really almost taking the idea that our brain is orchestrating a lot of the physical qualities going on outside of the picture altogether. So we've really created this disjointed system within our body. And the intent now, the intent with understanding that we are these interconnected beings is to really bring all of those pieces together and get them working in concert with one another. So when we enhance that connection between our brain and our body and vice versa, our body and our brain, we have better emotional regulation. So better regulation of what's happening within our body emotionally, because there is a, as I said a little bit earlier, a deeper sense or a greater sense of intuitive knowingness or connection with oneself. So rather than really pulling pieces of ourselves apart and then having your brain almost have to catch up to what's happening in certain parts of your body and respond, you know, in order to not hurt yourself, your body will engage in protective mechanisms. But when that comes as more of a surprise or shock, and that happens regularly, it can be really jarring or almost like an assault to your body because your brain is firing these very reactive responses rather than creating just a flow. And when you exist in a state that is calmer, in the flow, where there is harmony and unity happening within the body, that's a much more stable, much more comfortable, much more homeostatic place to exist from. And your emotional regulation within your body, within your brain, and within the mind really starts to reflect that. And one of the key ways that that gets reflected is in reducing stress or reducing anxiety. And that is, for a lot of people, such a huge benefit to physical activity is, you know, really recentering your body, feeling comfortable within your body, and getting the benefit of not being so reactive or not so stressed out. And this is something that has been widely published. I mean, this has been talked about even by researchers at Harvard Medicine, but the benefits of developing some type of strength and flexibility training, including through yoga, and how that reflects in a lower sense of stress and anxiety within the body. It also improves your self-awareness. And this goes back to the interoception. So your brain literally being more aware of and attuned to what's happening within your body. And then you being more aware of and attuned to what's happening within your body. So the brain is an organ within the body. The mind is a complex field that's really taking information in from the body, from the environment, from unseen forces, meaning different fields that we interact with constantly, and integrating all of that information and then allowing you to sense the integration of that information in a particular way. And when you have a low sense of awareness, you also have a lower sense of how your body, the field that you're dominantly residing within, is interacting with your environment and vice versa. So yoga, stretching, flexibility improves these things. And because it does so, you overall have this greater sense of self, a greater sense of awareness of your body and what's happening within it, and are better able to function overall. And this is from a place of physicality. So you're better primed to deal with stressors because you've got more, as I mentioned earlier, of a flow happening within your body and throughout your body. And your sense of environmental response is much more controlled or regulated rather than reactive. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which is a book that is foundational in terms of yoga, and certainly in conventional yoga, it's referenced a lot, but it is an older text. There are 196 sutras or principles of yoga, and only three of them are asanas, meaning physical movement practices. So of the 196 sutras, the three that are physically based seem to kind of have been translated in various forms into what we now think of as yoga in the modern day world. However, the book references using the physical body really as a way to prepare the mind for its spiritual development through self-realization. and through self-responsibility. So the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which, as I said, are foundational for yoga as a whole, as a discipline, and are a text that are used to develop the yoga that we see in today's world. Foundationally, the idea in the book is that yoga is not a physical practice exclusively, and the actual point of or purpose of developing a really deep and profound yoga practice and exploring parts of your body is not to stay locked within a certain state in your body and not to condition your body and your body alone for certain things and not to just chemically regulate your body. Although all of those things happen as a consequence of dedicating time and dedicating awareness to a yoga practice. But ultimately, the purpose is to gain a higher sense of awareness and a deeper sense of consciousness and purpose, and to allow the flow of innate intelligence that exists universally around us to really freely allow that to flow through us. And that happens through our nervous system in a very practical, physical way. That's how it kind of emanates throughout the body. And when we're talking about a physical movement practice like stretching or yoga, you see the effects of that through, you know, what can your body do as a result of what can your brain and nervous system get it to do. But the greater extent of that is that your body turns into this vessel that allows information not only within it, but around it to flow more easily. And because you are better connected to the information around you and you have less blockages to the channels of information that are coming in, trying to inform your field, you're more receptive to what's being fed to you. You're also then better able to handle the things that are happening around you. And in a more beautiful sense, you're better able to connect to yourself, your environment, and to other people. And that's a consequence of practicing yoga and practicing a movement practice, which is not so focused on a particular outcome. And I would say in yoga and in my own forms of flexibility training, being more flexible is one very obvious outcome, but there is more of a relaxed or more of approach of allowing versus approach of forcing, which is often associated with a lot of weight training, you know, where you're literally using force to do work, to lift these weights. In flexibility training, you do really have to listen to and hone in on the signals from your body because you don't want to tear things. You don't want to pull things. You don't want to end up in a situation where you've hurt something so badly that you can no longer engage in that movement. I mean, that just sets you back entirely. And there is more of an honoring of the signals of the body so that rather than going into a flexibility practice thinking, I've got to force my way through this, I've got to force my way into being more flexible, which that almost sounds like an oxymoron, you really kind of, you step into it with more of an allowance and an understanding that your body is a gift and the movement of your body is also a gift. And the flexibility training is really just a tool that allows you to take this gift and unwrap it and explore it and really see how beautiful it actually is. And that is, for me, what I have noticed in my own practice, what I consistently realize is, and right now in particular, I'm doing a yoga competition that's coming up very soon. And this is a more formal forum for a demonstration of yoga and my yoga practice. And so there are certain requirements that I do have to meet. And this is separate or different from my daily yoga practice that I've developed. But even in training for the competition and in understanding that there are these very specific rules and requirements that I am responsible for adhering to. And sometimes that does put me in a place where, you know, I think I've got to do this. And there is more force, there is more power in those thoughts. I oftentimes have to release that in order to really make progress with my training. And I think that is the underlying power of this work in flexibility and why I think this is really a new frontier in health and wellness. And I think we're going to see more and more, and we're already seeing a lot of research going into topics like this, like flexibility in yoga. Harvard Medicine is studying things like this. There are thousands of studies, if you go onto PubMed, that are validating that there is physical, emotional, and cognitive benefits to engaging in a flexibility practice versus a strength training practice alone. So in the book, The Science of Flexibility, and this book was written by Dr. Michael Alter, the connection between stretching and the health of your nervous system goes even deeper. And that is to say that when you engage in controlled stretching, conscious stretching, when you really start to listen to and honor the information that you're getting from your body, you actually help to regulate your autonomic nervous system. And this is the system that is responsible for your quote unquote fight or flight responses. So the ANS, or autonomic nervous system, is responsible for stress responses. So by engaging in flexibility training, engaging in some kind of yogic practice, you're regulating this system inside of your body that essentially pushes out stress response and regulates the up-leveling of stress response in your body. So when you're now engaged in a practice where that stress isn't showing up because your autonomic nervous system isn't firing at the same level, overall, that results in you experiencing a greater sense of calm, a greater sense of peace within yourself, and less anxiety, less stress about your day. And when you're not operating from that anxious, stressed out, high cortisol place, you also are able to make clearer decisions. You're able to give situations a clearer level of objective thought because you're not coming from a place of reactivity. And that's something everyone could use, is just a little bit more calm, a little bit more clarity, and a lot more peace around the thoughts in your mind, around your decision-making, around your processing of the things that are happening in your life. Like, these are all beautiful outcomes of a very intentional practice that you can develop quite easily in the comfort of your own home. One of the main ways that this comes about is through improved vagal tone. So the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in your nervous system, which essentially extends from the brain down to your abdomen or your large intestine. And when you have improved vagal tone, just to reiterate some of the things that I've already mentioned, you have more resilience to stress. You have improvement in heart rate variability, which is a factor for stress and anxiety response. You have enhanced clarity in cognitive function. Overall, because you have all of these other things, sleep quality tends to go up. So this improvement in the tone of the vagus nerve or the functioning and coordination of the vagus nerve with other parts of the body results in a higher sense of self-awareness and that interoception or the brain's awareness of the internal processes that are happening within the body. Now, as I said, the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in our body. And in spite of this, it is one of the more underrated, less talked about nerves in the nervous system, although it is connected to many parts of our body, including the heart, the lungs, the digestive tract. And in a lot of research literature, it's actually described as the superhighway of the nervous system because it is so long, it traverses a long part of our bodies, and it's connected to a lot of different things. And it's critical for restful, calming effects within the body. And this is because it is intricately linked with the parasympathetic nervous system. So the calming, restful part of the nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system helps you during stressful responses. The parasympathetic nervous system helps to calm you down. It helps to decrease your heart rate. It helps to decrease your breathing rate. It helps with things that you don't necessarily need during times of stress, like digestion. It helps to upregulate your digestive function. And because it is wired in your body, for lack of a better way to describe it, to really initiate these calming effects, there is now a lot of research going into how an improvement in the tone of the vagus nerve is related to these other areas of improved quality of life, decreased stress responses, and overall enhancement in clarity and objective levels of cognitive function. Now, there was a systematic review, which is a high level of research that's done, that was published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And the author was Manoj Sharma. And he discusses that with as little as 30 minutes a day of yoga or a stretching practice, significant changes in stress reduction can be seen. So the program that, after reviewing a lot of other studies, he seemed to think would work well for a lot of people based on the research that he had pulled was about 30 minutes a day of a flexibility training program, and to really engage in that regularly for a 6 to 12 week period, which is not out of the realm of what's consistent with a lot of workout programs. And this is really important to just remember that consistency around this is absolutely critical. And I know we're talking about stretching and we're talking about yoga and we're talking about allowing, and those things might sound gentle, and they are, but it doesn't mean that they don't have their own level of discipline and that they don't have their own level of consistency that's required, because the benefits that we're discussing here, like with anything else that we would be discussing in the framework of health, really come from consistency and developing habits around. And what I've noticed in my own body in doing this now very regularly for the last year and a half is that regaining and retraining flexibility has been much more of a challenge for me and required much more patience than building muscle tone. And what I mean by that is if I spend a month working out as far as having a goal of muscle tone improvement, and that looks like a lot of strength and weight training versus a month of flexibility training, I noticed that in a very visible way with weight training, I can see improvements almost right away. And that's in part because throughout different times in my life, I've engaged in strength training workouts. I have done weightlifting to some degree. I've worked with coaches in the past. I've had a regular gym and workout practice. And so there is a level of muscle memory that's stored within my body around those things. And for me to pick a weight training practice back up and start firing those muscles again, start getting those neurons connected to those muscles in a particular way again, and really balancing out how those muscles function with respect to one another and supporting my body, there's already familiarity inside of me for that. And for most of us, we've gone pretty much our entire adult lives without really thinking about flexibility or flexibility training at all. So there is very little, if not virtually no real memory of a lot of these movements. And typically you'll find that even though within flexibility training or within yoga practice, depending on the practice you're engaged in, although the movements seem very simple, and oftentimes they are not easy. And this is because you are really challenging yourself to put your body into positions that you typically don't find yourself in, and your muscles don't know how to move in that way necessarily. And your nerves don't know how to support your muscles to get you into those positions. And there's a stiffness and an awkwardness, and the fascia around your muscles and around the nerves is oftentimes very bound up. And all of this to say that if you start engaging in a flexibility training program and you find it frustrating because you find that you are stuck or you feel locked out of a lot of the movements that you're trying to get your body to do, don't feel frustrated. I know this is going to sound a little corny, but just allow it. Allow you and your body to be where you are and allow that to be okay. And just make a note that that is not good enough. So it's okay to be there where you are. But if you want to improve your muscle flexibility, your nervous system tone, your nervous system coordination between the muscles and between your brain, and really creating something cohesive so that you are functioning at a higher level, then you just have to make a note that you are where you are, but you know, there is a gentle acceptance and then also an understanding that you're going to work to improve these things. So really give yourself some grace would be my first piece of advice for you if you're engaged in a practice like this, and allow it to be what it is, and also give yourself permission to acknowledge those things and know that you can do better. You can be better. You can improve. And just the fact that you're stepping into this particular practice is a massive step towards developing your body in a new way and really honoring your body in a way that a lot of health and wellness practices tend to forget. So you are picking up traditions that are ancient traditions, and the wisdom of that ancient knowledge is being carried through in everything that you're doing with your practice. And eventually that starts to inform your field, and your body changes. And those changes, and I mentioned some of them at the beginning of this episode, but those changes in not only your body, but your sense of self, your self-awareness, your confidence, your intuition, all of those changes are so worth it. Some tools I would suggest that you pick up if you're interested in developing a stretching practice. I own these tools and love and fully advocate for them, are a yoga wheel that's going to improve your back flexibility. And it's something that I would suggest using passively whenever you can. So when you first get on it, it's going to feel uncomfortable and like something that you don't necessarily want to be on. But the more time you spend on a yoga wheel, the more you're going to love it. And it has truly changed my level of back flexibility. But it's something that you really can put behind your back, lay back on, and you can use this when you're reading. You can use this when if you're just on your phone scrolling through emails or doing work. You can use this if you watch TV, if that's something you spend your time doing, you can lay on it while you're watching TV. So it's something that you can really build into your life and can be used in a pretty passive way. The other thing I would suggest picking up is a foam roller. And that is really just to help you roll out a lot of the bound up, sticky muscle and fascia that are probably all over your body, because they're all over everybody's body. And the more you do this, the more you realize how true that is. But pick up a foam roller. And again, that's something that you can use when you're doing anything pretty passive. So, you know, watching TV, if you just want to jump on the foam roller, roll things out before you go to do something like clean the house, you know, that's something I personally do. So it doesn't have to be something that takes a ton of time, takes up a big part of your day, but just really working these props into your everyday life so that your muscles and the fascia around the muscle start to get the sense that flexibility and lengthening and stretching are things that they're going to have to take on in the very near future. And then thirdly, I would say that if you're trying to develop a yoga practice and generally feel quite tight or quite stiff, yoga blocks are also a nice idea, because these are a prop that you can use in a variety of positions. But when you're in a particular posture and you don't necessarily feel like you have the flexibility for it, yoga blocks are just a nice aid to give you a little bit of support and make you feel as though you have that quote unquote crutch or the support of the block itself, but still allow you to get into a posture. And they can be adjusted. So, I mean, they go into three different heights based on what you're doing and how you position the block. So depending on how flexible or inflexible you're feeling one day, you can modify how you use these things so that they work for you, they work for your practice, and eventually really just help support the development of whatever postures you're doing within your flexibility training program. Before we wrap up, I want to emphasize the importance of the mind, body, and spirit connection, and that this is not just some new age idea, but that it is important to know it's supported by hard science, and there is constantly new research that is emerging that shows just how interconnected our physical environment is to our physical health and our neuronal health, and then our overall sense of personal well-being and consciousness, and how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to others, how we relate to the universe around us. And our nervous system is this intricate yet beautifully designed pathway for us to channel information throughout our body, from our environment into our body, and make both very immediate and long-lasting changes. It's such an elegant gift, and if we could all learn to honor it and nurture it, it would not only serve our bodies well, but it is a code to unlocking deeper states of consciousness and self-awareness and a real, innately powered, yet divinely given sense of peace within ourselves. This is how you decrease stress. You tap in to the parts of yourself that don't allow it to persist. As always, I have so much gratitude for you and your investment of time in this episode. Please like, comment, and share with anyone you believe could use some stress reduction. Remember, you were born to be superhuman.